And it's a call to agencies in all seven counties that are interested in applying for United Way funds to pull up the application and come forward and apply for funds. We've actually also got a training and information meeting on Monday at 3 o'clock at our office that's going to get details about everything. But the goal is really, we did a seven-county assessment a few months back and whittled down, kind of narrowed down what our goals are as an organization, centering around education, financial stability, and health. And the RFP we put out has those goals that were established by volunteers and talks about ways that organizations can apply for funds from United Way that will kind of align with those goals. And everything we do with allocations is volunteer-driven. The allocations panels are all volunteers. The goals were all put together by volunteers. The assessment was done by staff and volunteers, but it was all done by random surveys out in the community. So really what this is it's our chance with the allocations process to kind of get our marching orders from the community and do something with that money that they're good enough to give us every year.
When was the last time there was a self-assessment done?
The last one was done in 2003. Our goal is to do them every 5 years, but our goal is also to do them in a way where we're not tying up a bunch of budget money. So the one we did in 2003, which is right as I got to town, we did it on our own. And I want to say our cost was somewhere in the range of $20,000. This last one we did in conjunction with the School of Rural Public Health. We contracted with them and kind of tagged on to an assessment that they were doing and added a bunch of questions, and we gave them, I think, a $5,000 fee to be able to get out in the community and get the answers that we needed. So that was a lot more effective way to do it, and that's probably how we'll do it in the future. So we'll be working closely with School of Rural Public Health as we do things in the future, because they're out in all seven counties doing stuff and beyond, really. But it was 2003. It was wrapped up probably March or so of 2003, because I got here March 31st of 2003, and we were just finishing up, and then we did the community report out in like May, I believe, in 2003. And this one we did the community report out late last summer.
How did the priorities change, or how did they change in order from the last one?
Well, the last one, there were five real priority areas. It was health, having to do anything with mental health, access to health, health services, variety of things. Safety, where that was, being ready for a fire or being ready for a hurricane or just in general having your home safe. And then we whittled it into kids, which had to do with educational aspects of things. We did families, which really the kids has morphed into the education piece. The families piece has really morphed more into the financial stability piece, because that's how the volunteers really have been doing the work more, is more along the lines of financial stability. And then one of the final areas from 2003 that was on the assessment was transportation, but there are so many entities doing so many things with transportation, and it's just it's not something that us putting a few hundred thousand dollars in allocations toward is going to change. And so, it's a billion-dollar issue, multi-billion-dollar issue. So we kind of let people like the Council of Governments and others take the lead on transportation and just zoned in on kids, families, and health and safety in 2003. And then this past year, we tweaked those a bit based on the input we got and went with education, financial stability, and health, realizing, too, that we're still going to have safety net programs that we fund, because the RFP, the way the RFP is worded, it talks very strongly about wanting to achieve long-term change in the community, not just a Band-Aid approach. But we also realize that people are going to unexpectedly get unemployed or unexpectedly have a house fire or unexpectedly have some situation change in their lives. So we want to work with our partners and make sure that we're able to do that, too. And I think the RFP has enough flexibility where that can definitely continue to happen, because it's very important that those needs be taken care of, too, and that we make sure we're not going in with a Band-Aid approach for the other needs.
How many agencies served, and how much money's out there this year?
We have 26 organizations and programs that we have funded through the allocations process right now, and that includes agencies based in Brazos County and some agencies based in Washington County. The total allocations was around $770,000, plus we had an additional $60,000 that each of those impact areas has a committee, has a team of people that are involved in making the goals and making sure that we're achieving our goals. There was $60,000 also available to them to direct toward kind of seed money type projects to get things, you know, where there were immediate needs in the community. And that process is a little bit more streamlined than our allocations process. So about $770,000 plus $60,000 was what we put out. So a little over, $850,000, something like that.
Tell me again when your fundraising campaign begins.
Well, it used to be that we had luxury of having like a September, October, November campaign, and the dynamics of the organizations we deal with have just changed so much that now it's pretty much our campaign starts April 1st. We really announce goals and stuff in the August time frame, but we wrap up the campaign March 31st and start a new campaign year April 1st, mostly though using April, May, June time frame to do more planning and training and stuff like that, getting volunteers ready to go with the loan executives and things like that. So the campaign year is April through March, with really the most emphasis happening like August, September through March.
The meeting that you have scheduled for Monday, is this something that you do on an annual basis, or is this something new?
It's a newer thing. Typically with allocations, we've had some of the same people coming back year after year, you know, partners that we're very familiar with. So the aspect for training was not really as crucial because they knew the program. The allocations application had made some changes to be more impact-oriented, but not huge, huge major changes. Well, this year we've changed the process around enough, and some of the questions have changed enough that we felt that it was very important to have everybody on the same page from the get-go through this process. So this is the first time that we've done it in a while, and it will be an ongoing thing. But one thing you mentioned about annual basis, one of the things we've changed, too, with the process is that the allocations timeline for them, the contract year or the contract period, will be a two-year period because, quite honestly, the things we're doing, you know, if we're asking people to achieve lasting change in the community, asking to do it in a year is just not very realistic. So we'll have a two-year funding period. They'll be reporting back to us every 6 months, and at the end of 2 years, there'll be a big report explaining how they did and everything. And part of the application this year is kind of a what we call a logic model, where they tell us, here's who we're going to help, here's how we're going to help them, and here's how we're going to measure it. And that's what they'll come back to us every 6 months on. And that's one of the things really with the training that's relatively new is that reporting back factor. Because whereas before, they did report back and we knew they were doing good things and we monitored their finances and things like that. Now we're being a little more specific in our needs to make sure that every 6 months we can then turn around and go back out to the community and say, okay, you invested in United Way and here's what we did with that money. So it's very important to make sure that we've got that report back factor, and that's one thing we're really being more specific about, where really the training is a little bit more necessary than it's been in the past.
And that's really a tightrope that particularly the allocations committee has to deal with. You have the accountability, but yet you want to have some measure of flexibility to recognize growth and being able to, as you mentioned, point out to those who make a contribution, you know, this is how well your money's being used.
Well, and that was a real important thing to us, and quite frankly, that's one reason from the report standpoint, it's been more verbal, plus financials, and we keep an eye on their financials and stuff. But I really dug my heels in on making sure that when we've been adding these reporting concepts, these reporting aspects to our agencies, we didn't pile on so much extra work for them where they'd say, okay, I'm going to get $50,000 from United Way, but I have to spend $20,000 of that on the time spent for these massive reports that United Way is going to require. So the reporting that we're asking for is really an intention. Is every few months they're going to spend a few hours doing it, a couple hours maybe, but it's not going to be so repressive that they're going to spend donated dollars to have a staff member who's dedicated to doing United Way reporting, because that's not what donors want their money spent for. The donors want their money to go out and help people, not generate a piece of paper for me. So we've worked really hard along the way as we've kind of redesigned the reporting process and the allocations process over the last year or so to make sure that we really stuck to that. And we've even had questions asked, you know, from agencies initially saying, well, what if it's going to – I look at the report, you know, the reporting required, and I'm going to put in my budget that I'm going to have to hire somebody to do the reporting. You know, I told them flat out, I said, that's when we go back to the drawing board, because we've got to change what we're asking from you then, because while we have to report back to the donors, because our mentality is the donor's money is never our money until it's spent on a service, that we don't want to be so report-oriented that we're wasting that money and not getting it out to the people who need it. So we're working with them real hard on that, and that's one of the reasons for the training, because that is kind of a newer aspect that we're buckling down a little bit on the training, on the reporting requirements.
So the investment's going to be there to get the accountability, and that's, for instance, one of the reasons why you want people to show up on Monday.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because one of the things we do, too, is there are, you know, every United Way is an independent corporation, and there are United Ways that will allow a donor to give to any organization they want to, as long as it's a nonprofit organization, 501c3. I came from a United Way in Tucson before I came back to Texas, which is home for me. I came from a United Way in Tucson that we wrote checks to 2,000 organizations a year. Now, the thing is, though, other than the agencies that went through our process, I couldn't tell you a thing about those other organizations. The one thing we can consistently tell our donors, because we do allow designation, but it's only to the organizations that we currently fund that have gone through our process. You know, I can go to a donor and say, you look at this list, and I can tell you whatever you want to know about any one of these, because I've been there, I've read their information, I know the director personally, and that's where that investment that the community's making just has to be so honored that we have to do our part to make sure that happens.
Anything else that listeners need to know about as another cycle gets started here?
No, sir. Other than that, you know, we certainly honor those dollars that are given to us every year. We want to make sure that we can report back to the donors on what's going on. And we are really, really interested in finding organizations. As they go to our website, uwbv.org. They go to our website and look at that application and figure out if they can align with what we're trying to do as an organization to help out in the community. We are really, really interested in seeing some new faces at the table if it makes sense for them to come. And we're very interested in having a two-way street, two-way relationship, partnership with them, because in our opinion, that's the only way it can be.